This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
We are back here on the Pack a Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder, we got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next, 9 to 11. A lot of Brewers chat today, 1-2 weekend, or 1-2 series against the Cubs. I know they got a lot of thoughts on that, so make sure to stick around again, 9 to 11, Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis, that is. Right now, we're being joined by Pete Doherty, Packers writer for PackersNews.com. You can find him on social media, at Pete Doherty. Pete, it is great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing well, Andy. Thanks for having me. How about you?
I am doing fantastic. As I mentioned, it's always great talking with you and catching up on all things Packers. Let's start off. I know it's a little bit of a week removed, but you obviously had the opportunity to cover the draft right in Green Bay. What were kind of your expectations when you heard initially that the draft was going to be in Green Bay, and how did they meet, exceed, or come below those expectations?
You know, I've the league had enough experience doing drafts in different cities where, you know, I thought they would not have given it to Green Bay if they didn't feel like there was enough infrastructure there. But I still thought, it would come off okay and fine, but I still thought it would kind of overwhelm the city. But I did not get that sense at all. Like on the draft days when I had to run errands or go to the gym, you know, on the east side of town, the traffic, there was no traffic. In fact, I think it was a little less busy than usual. Getting to and from the stadium was nothing. I thought that was going to be a huge problem. The vibe around the stadium was great. You know, there was, after the first day, one arrest, and I think there was three for the weekend. It just struck me that it went really, really well. That's the vibe I got.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I was expecting, kind of like you said, of just trying to get anywhere in Green Bay was going to be hectic, that everything was going to be a little bit too busy or overrun. And I'm just like, I'm just going to kind of stay away from everything. But the vibe that I got all around just sort of the outer skirts of Green Bay was, again, maybe a lot of people in Green Bay were thinking the same thing and just being like, I'm just going to stay home. But it felt not busy at all. It didn't feel like anything was overrun. In fact, I think some businesses around were maybe a little bit disappointed there wasn't a little bit more drummed up. But I think it really kind of stayed within its own stratosphere right around the stadium, for better or worse. And everything that went on without a hitch, and I thought it was really well done by the NFL, Green Bay, Mark Murphy, the Packers. Thought they all crushed it. As far as the actual selections themselves, anything that surprised you about positions, how they went in this draft, or anything that just kind of took you off guard?
Yeah, probably the same as most. I mean I wouldn't have bet any money that all three of the first three picks would be on offense.
Right.
I thought for sure there'd be a defensive lineman, either inside or edge or a corner, at least one of those in those three picks. And two was what I would have probably bet on. And two receivers in the first three, I wouldn't have bet a nickel on that. But it's a great reminder. You know, I got locked in on positions I thought they needed and what they needed, and drafts don't always fall that way. And Gutekunst isn't going to make bad force trades that he doesn't think is a good trade. And if they really like a guy, they're going to take him. And they obviously were concerned about how the offense kind of cratered those last three games. And that surprised me. I got to think it surprised you too, I would guess. Maybe not.
No, very much so. And it felt almost a little bit unbalanced after the first 2 days, where you're like, I don't dislike any of these individual selections, but going three offense and no defense felt just, again, surprising, shocking, whatever you want to define it as. They obviously made up for it after that by going defense pretty heavily on day three. But no, at the beginning of it, never would have expected that, and definitely thought, you know, a corner would have been in play. But as we know, and as we saw again, Goody's going to trust his board for better or worse. And, you know, you could tell even he was surprised by it. He got up in the press conference and was like, yeah, I didn't expect to be here talking about two wide receivers on day two that he'd already selected in the first 2 days. So it caught him off guard, but he's going to stick to the evaluation. And I don't know how you feel, Pete, but for me, it's not giving them a blank check to just be able to make any decisions that they want. But overall, I think it's really good process. If you take all the time, effort, and energy to have scouts review these guys and go through the tape and go through this entire process, top 30 visits, etc., board entirely together, only to get to the board and the time where you're picking, and then not even go with what you did anyway, it kind of doesn't pay off the work that you've done through the entirety of the time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, I mean, need, of course, always factors in. You know, it's a continuum, and so you got to factor need in. But, you know, I mean, we all know there's a real crapshoot element to the draft anyway.
Yep.
And even high picks miss a lot, but the farther down you go, the more the chances of missing go up. And so when you're with any of these picks, to give yourself the best chance to get a really good player, you know, that's why they want to go with the best player available in a general sense. That's why most teams try to do it that way, because the odds are low of hitting a really good player no matter where you're picking. But to increase those odds at least a little, you should pick the guy that you think is the best player on your board to maximize those chances. So, yeah, I agree completely. The process is good. You know, they had enough needs where they could pick any of several positions, and when it was a smart use of high pick. So, you know, I won't quibble with it. And let's say Savion Williams or Belton, if one of those guys turns out to be a really good player, then, you know, 3 years from now, we're not going to be saying, oh, they failed to draft a defensive player there. We're going to be thinking they drafted a very good player there.
Yeah, as soon as you get the tunnel vision of drafting for needs, you know, the last thing that you would want is to draft some corner that ends up being, you know, the next Pat Lee or something in round three, and passing up on Savion Williams, who ends up going on to be a really great wide receiver, and be like, man, we had Savion Williams better on our board, but we felt like we needed to draft for need and took a lesser corner because of that. And then you end up passing on a really talented player that you could have got at that spot. So, and you don't know what your needs are going to necessarily be in week six or week 10, or because of injuries and so many things like that. Today's needs are not always tomorrow's needs. So I like the process overall. We'll see how it ultimately ends up. As you look back at the group of draft picks, again, we're being joined by Pete Doherty here, Packers writer for PackersNews.com. Find him on social media at Pete Doherty. So you look at these selections as a whole, and have had the opportunity to kind of look at them in a little bit greater detail. Maybe a drafty or two that you're most intrigued by.
I'd say Williams is the one who jumps out to me, and I saw all the highlights and lowlights that you posted on X, and I mean, that's just mind blowing, isn't it?
The
catches this guy makes,
and unbelievable.
Some of the running after the catch, and then the drops. It's incredible, but there looks like there's a lot of talent to work with there. As he's got to improve the consistency of the catching, but I could see why they're really intrigued by him. I could see why they like him.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. We're going to talk about a little bit more on him in the next segment, but there was nobody, as I've been going through, and I haven't watched the seventh rounders and done the deep dive on those two yet, but everyone else I've watched in great detail now, and there's nobody that dropped my jaw and just had me like cackling out of the ridiculousness of some of the plays that he made than Savion Williams. He is unbelievably talented, ridiculous with some of the plays after the catch, and the just jump balls and everything that he's doing, the crazy catches that he's making, and then the pull your hair out moments too with some of the drops that you're just like, oh my goodness, that's going to be very frustrating. He's going to have a third and five that Matt LaFleur schemes him perfectly open over the middle of the field that he's just going to drop and make you be like, what the heck is going on? And then he's going to come back and make like a 60-yard catch over two defenders on the next play. And you're going to be like, all right, all forgiven. That's the type of player that he is. But he's a very high variance player, and it's going to be interesting to see what they can get out of that. Of course, there's still questions that remain. I think corner is kind of one of those big ones, Pete. What do you make of any big questions that remain on this roster now that the draft and for most part free agency is over?
Yeah, I'd be worried about corner if I were them. I mean, you know, they sign Hobbs. My assumption is, without being a tape studier, but just talking around, you know, if Nixon's your best corner, you're not very strong at corner. If he's your second best corner, that's okay. So assuming Hobbs is better than assuming Hobbs is better than Nixon, you know, I think they're okay at corner, and we got to count Bullard as a corner because he's a slot guy and he's going to at least be playing early down slot. And they've got Valentine as the third outside guy. So I think they can withstand one injury at corner, and, you know, they'll be okay. You know, they played okay last year, so I don't think it'd be a big issue. But two injuries, and, you know, we all know how injuries hit in this league. Two injuries, and I think they've got a big problem. And for the longer run, you know, you really want a talented guy. They're hard to find, but a guy as talented as Alexander, it really helps to have a guy like that, especially when you're playing in this division with the receivers that there are in this division. So if I'm the Packers, I'm pretty concerned. We don't know what's going to happen with Alexander. I'm still thinking that the odds are pretty slim that he's back, but, you know, Rob Domofsky's got good sources, and he reported last week everything's on the table. So, you know, who knows? Maybe he will be back. I would bet against it, but you never know. But if I'm them, I'm really concerned about it. And I don't know if there's going to be any cornerback equivalents of Devondre Campbell out there available. I think they signed him after the draft, didn't they?
Yep.
So, you know, that's pretty rare to hit on something like that. But if I'm them, I'm keeping my eyes and ears open for anybody who can at least upgrade the depth there. And you know, because we all know injuries are going to hit. And so that would be my biggest concern going into, you know, between now and the start of camp is whether you got enough at corner.
There's so much that I want to dig into here. I think the first thing, like you said, is I think there are question marks as to what, you know, they can ultimately still do at corner. I've combed through that free agency class of what's remaining, and man, it is slim pickings at corner, as you would imagine at this point of the year. Although they found, you know, crazier things in the past where they found a Rasul Douglas off of a practice squad midway through the season. And obviously that had great success. Keyshawn Nixon was pre-draft, but somebody that they brought in 1 year, zero guaranteed money. And that ended up working out pretty well. So Goody he's pretty good at the random free agent stuff and picking guys out that can, you know, potentially help the team. But man, it is slim out there. There's potential trades out there. There could be a Jamel Dean that's available. Jalen Ramsey's available. I don't see Green Bay going in either of those directions. So this could be your corner room. But I want to go back to Jair for just a moment, because this thing, and as you mentioned, there was an initial report from Tom Silverstein after the draft that everything is status quo. Though you got the report from Rob Domofsky that, hey, there is an opportunity here. Everything's still on the table, potential cut or trade, but there may be is an opportunity for this to still, you know, reconcile. I've yet to talk to anyone, Pete, that covers this team in great detail that believes that Jair will be back. It's not to say he won't be, but it seems to be anyone that's close to it. It feels an overarching feel that the more likely scenario is that he's gone. I don't know what to make of this scenario anymore. I think there is, you know, anything is probably on the table, but man, it seems really crazy that it's gotten to this point and that there still has not been a decision made.
Yeah, you know, when you get to the point where they're shopping a player and they're shopping him for a long time, I mean, it's really rare when it doesn't happen. Now, it did happen with Cincinnati and Hendrickson. I think that was a little different in that I think Cincinnati told Hendrickson, hey, because I think the agent told the Bengals, you can get a first-round pick for this guy. Then he went and shopped him, and they couldn't get a first-round pick for him.
Right.
And the Bengals might have done it as much just to say, give it your best shot, but, you know, we're telling you, you're not going to get it. Whereas I don't think that's the issue here. I think they just wanted to get something for Alexander. You got the sense both parties probably were ready for a split. And I just don't think that – I can't see the Packers paying him $17.5 million with all the games he's missed. And if you're him, you don't need to take the pay cut. You can just say, you know, cut me in. You know, I'll take my chances on the open market. Now maybe they can do a really big incentive, you know, for how many games he plays, he gets a lot of money. And there's always a chance it could work out. But yeah, it just still seems pretty unlikely. My guess is they're just going to have to end up cutting him. But it, you know, I was pretty sure about that, you know, a week and a half ago, and I'm a lot less sure about that now.
you and me are in the same boat on that. I definitely thought it was, you know, next to 0% chance. And then of course, you know, Rob's report came out and I'm like, oh, well, we'll see. And then, you know, there's still the way that they talk about it with the Jair situation. It still feels like they're working on trying to move on. It still feels like that, but man, I don't know. It's a really crazy situation. I'm not sure there's been anything akin to it with the Packers previously, but we'll see how it ultimately ends up sooner, hopefully sooner rather than later, but maybe later at this point, who the heck knows. All right, as you look at this offseason as a whole now, Pete, again, Pete Doherty, PackersNews.com, find him on social media at Pete Doherty. Free agency again being over, draft being over. How do you evaluate what Brian Gutekunst is able to accomplish on the whole this offseason?
So, you know, they probably got a little better with between their gains and losses in free agency, you know, bringing in, you know, Hobbs should help the secondary was looking pretty thin, so it should help there. They played much of last season without Alexander anyway. Bringing Banks in, I think the Banks-Jenkins combo guard-center is better than the Jenkins-Myers combo. So they got better on the whole line. I mean, still so much of it is going to come down to just Jordan Love continuing with the arrow going up. You know, he finished that first season as a starter so strong, you know, the second half of that season. And he was really up and down last year. We still don't know for sure, you know, how much the knee was affecting his throwing once he was no longer, you know, obviously injured, but it still might have been affecting him. But the third year has started. Mike Holmgren, I've talked to him numerous times about this over the years. He always thought the third year of a guy being a starter is the year where you find out, where you really know what you got. And if you look at, and then the sixth year in the league too. And if you look at, you know, Rodgers' third year, that's when he really showed, you know, that he was pretty good. On his sixth year in the league, Favre's sixth year in the league, that's when those guys both played their best, some of their best football. So much of it still rests on just, you know, Love continuing to improve and finding that middle ground between you got to take some chances but not taking too many. That's still the biggest thing. And I'll be curious to see if these two receivers, what kind of difference they make, because the Packers were missing that dynamic quality whenever Watson wasn't playing. You know, they were missing that dynamic quality, and maybe these two guys in different ways will add something between the two of them that could make a difference.
Obviously, we're just kind of leaning on this a second ago, but I've talked about this year for Jordan kind of being the career defining season, like this, the bar setting season of like, this is probably who he is. You know, you had the injury last year. Assuming he stays healthy this year, I think we finally get the note of like, all right, does he have the ability to be that top five guy? Is he more kind of like your average starter who you can win with, but maybe not because of? Are those inconsistencies going to stay, or does he kind of get a little bit more consistent? I feel like this is the year where sort of the ultimate tone is set. You kind of know what you have with Jordan Love, and then you can kind of proceed from there. But this does very much feel like a career defining season for Jordan.
Yeah, you would like, so if you've been saying that, you've basically been saying what you know Holmgren thinks, and he's, you know, he's one of the best quarterback gurus that the league has seen. So I'm with you all the way there, and that's why this is going to be a really interesting season. And I'll kind of be lining it up and checking, comparing it with Rodgers' third season now. The Packers only went 10-6 that year, if I remember right. But that's the year they won the Super Bowl and they caught fire at the end. And he was a pretty good player that year. So I'll be kind of keeping the comparisons going. But I'm completely on board with you there.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I can't wait to see what he's got, and hopefully he can just stay healthy and we get that clear vision of what Jordan is at QB. And hopefully it's on the upper side of things. I know you'll be covering it all along the way, Pete. What do you got coming out over on PackersNews.com, and where can we find all of your incredible work?
Yeah, so PackersNews.com is where you can find it. And Eric Bronchek and I are going to do a podcast this week. So we'll get that up. And then I think the next spate of stories coming will be when the OTAs get going in later May, in a couple weeks. Then we'll have a lot of stuff there, and I'll have at least one column coming out of that.
Awesome. You got a couple of weeks to relax here?
Yeah. Time Good. To kind of hang out and get our lives in order. I know you're the hardest working man in show business, so it never slows down for you with 365 pack a day, but I hope you can get a little downtime too.
Yeah, absolutely. Got some downtime coming. There's not much of it in the NFL season, so when you can get it, enjoy it. You do incredible work, Pete, and you deserve it. So enjoy the next couple weeks of downtime, and I'm sure we'll catch up here in the near future. I can't thank you enough for coming on and spewing all the Packers knowledge this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Andy. And, you know, I don't get a chance to say this to you a lot, but you do great work. I really, really enjoy what you've added to the beat. So congrats to you there, and keep it up.
That means a ton. You have no idea how much that that means to me. So thank you so much. We'll talk again soon. And yeah, we'll hopefully catch up in a couple weeks here.
So sounds good, Andy. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. That is Pete Doherty. Find him on PackersNews.com, on social media at Pete Doherty. Anytime he puts any article out, it is must read. So make sure you're checking it out anytime you get the opportunity to do so. We're going to be right back talking a little bit of Savion Williams. This is the Pack a Day Radio Show.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us like, it just gave us a feeling.
a three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.